So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Catchy Lefty Podcast. We are here today to talk about Pentecost Sunday, which is May 24th, 2015, and we are looking forward to discussing it today. This has been a very exciting series for us, and we hope that those of you that have joined us for it, we hope that you've sensed that same excitement that we have felt every single week. My name is Jonathan Sprang, and I am the Arts and Student Pastor at Catalyst Church in Rowlett, Texas, and I'm joined today by my co-pastor, JR. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm excited about this podcast.
Awesome. And we're also joined by our good friend, Patrick. How you doing, buddy?
I am also doing good. It's been a while. I'm happy to be back here.
Great. It's great to have you back. Yeah, we had some other folks join us for the last few podcasts, so it's fun to have you join us again today. Hey, so Pentecost Sunday, right? It's something that comes every year. It's a passage that we hear every year, and we've heard our whole lives for those of us that have grown up in the church. Patrick, why don't you share a little bit about Pentecost and how you kind of that struggle that we have as communicators of having to tell the same story on this Sunday every year.
Yeah, it seems one of those things where this day, the story behind what happens in Acts 2, it's such a dynamic story. I mean, filled with energy and enthusiasm. This is where Peter kind of has his first sermon, and I think it's something like 3,000 people come to repentance and salvation that day. And like the first time I preached this, passage, I was actually really pumped about it. I remember I was still a youth pastor, so I didn't necessarily preach regularly on Sundays. And when the senior pastor asked me to take this passage and preach it on the day of Pentecost, I mean, I was pumped. Like, there were so many good things that I could say. And then it just seems like every year now that I get to preach it, I approach the text with hesitancy now because I'm afraid that I might just be repeating the same thing. But I rarely have that issue. Like, surprisingly, there's always something new that I can say, or maybe something that I can draw my congregation's attention to. I was just reading through Feasting on the Word this morning on Acts chapter 2, and there was just a quote that it was Kristen Emery Saldine that she said that I think just rings true. It says, "Every year on the day of Pentecost, we are reminded of who we are as a church, what we proclaim, and the source of that proclamation." So Pentecost is an opportunity once again just to remind your people of what it means to be the church, what it means to swing open the windows and to let the Spirit just fly through the place.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, what I like about what I'm looking forward to this Sunday is not that it's on Memorial Day, because that actually, I'm not looking forward to that, but what I am looking forward to is the fact that, just with this series, that the way that I've approached it with my congregation, as just constantly reminding them of what we get to be a witness to and a witness of. And I think that this will be a great just kind of summary of going back to the beginning of what we're witnessing. And another opportunity, yet again, in Eastertide to kind of speak life and to preach the power and the moving of God in this place.
Yeah, I think I think back to times when I've actually got to preach a Pentecost a couple of times. One of the times was in our Inhale Exhale series where Lent was Inhale and Easter was Exhale, and so I actually used the Ezekiel passage of the dry bones.
I was actually looking through my sermon notes, and I did that. It was probably the same the same year, I guess, because I use the Dry Bones. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just a lot of fun to talk about. You know, kind of, I was just reminiscing on my excitement that year, kind of like you were saying, you know, when you got to preach it the first time. You know, just the excitement of having this passage of scripture that tells of the breath filling the lungs of the people again and bringing them back to life, and the idea of the inhale and exhale, that, you know, that breathing metaphor just worked so well that year that I just got really excited about preaching it. So that's, yeah, again, like you said, sometimes it gets kind of difficult, but when you preach it every year, but there always seems to be something to say. And I think this year it's no different. I mean, you know, we've been on this journey in this Lenten, in this Eastertide season of seeing all the kind of the effects of what the Spirit did, and how the Spirit was going before all of the disciples, and when the Spirit kept saying, go there, yeah, go there, like they, when they got there, they found out that he was already at work and doing something, and we just keep getting pushed further and further and further, you know, all the way to where the Gentiles, meaning that now the doors are open for anyone and everyone to be a part of this new community that God is doing. And so then we kind of, like with the Ascension passage last week, we get kind of thrown back in time a little bit to see, like, okay, how did we get to this point? How did it begin? So we get the prequel passages of the Ascension, and then now leading into you know, like the disciples being in the upper room and waiting again for the Holy Spirit, you know, and it really just ends up, I think, just being a nice celebration that when we are going there, when we are going where we feel like God is leading, that we don't go alone, and that His Spirit is the one that's at work, and we're not just going there to go there, but we're going there following the leading of the Spirit. And I think that's key. And I think especially for this series of Go There, I think it's really fitting that we're able to end with this kind of the celebration of this is why we can go, because it's not by our strength, it's not by our decisions, it's not by our will or our power or our desires, it's by God's Spirit's power that is in us that gives us the ability to go there. So
yeah, it's that. I mean, it's when God shows up, the people of God are moved.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't know, is your sanctuary, do you guys have movable chairs, or do you have, are they nailed?
No, they move. We stack them every week.
Oh, you do? Nice. I always, I like sanctuaries that have chairs that move, like our chairs are movable too. And I like moving them around regularly, like just putting them in different places or like setting it up differently or throwing tables around, because it's so funny to talk about how just in this passage, you know, these people were gathered in this upper room and the door was locked, and they were praying and seeking God, and then when the Holy Spirit showed up, like God moved them. And I haven't said that yet during this series, but it seems like are we willing and ready to be moved when God shows up? And I like to just kind of, like, that's a really easy example to kind of draw people's attention to. It's like, if I moved your chair for something good, like, yeah, how would you feel about that? Or like, or are we really willing to move when our pews are screwed down into the floor? Mm. I don't know, that was just a thought that came out. JR, what are your thoughts?
It's been so weird to preach this whole series because we end, well, after it's happened. You know what I mean? So it's been like, once the Spirit fell, these are all the things that happened, and now we're getting back to where this is when the Spirit fell. This is the celebration of this power that God promised was going to come. And so Jonathan's actually preaching Ascension Sunday. And setting up that, you know, when Jesus left, the disciples, I think the phrase you're using, Sprang, isn't it like, you know, what are you waiting for? Go start waiting, or something,
yeah,
like that.
Kind of like what the
angels said to the disciples, and what we're really hitting on the week before that, Shelley, one of our lay preachers, is preaching. She's saying, you know, in the church, the Spirit acts and the church reacts. And so this whole thing has been about wait for the Spirit, wait for the Spirit, wait for the Spirit, wait for the Spirit. And so this is going to be a really nice summary week where we can look back at all of the places the Spirit has moved that made the early church uncomfortable, and yet they had to go there. And I forget, I think it was Willimon in his Acts commentary, anxiously and readily followed. He used the example of Philip and the eunuch, who's our week six text. And then he's like, other times, they sort of had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the new reality. And he used Peter and Cornelius, which is so funny because, you know, it was Easter text and it was the week seven text, or the week six text before ascension. Yeah. And so it's just really funny that you had both of those examples of, you know, sometimes the disciples were ready and they were on it and they were excited. And then other times they were like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this isn't right. And God was like, no, it's right. They're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not the... Definitely do that. So it'll be nice to, having gone on this journey for 7 weeks up to this Sunday to actually, like, not really do a whole bunch of new material or new information, but just to go back over this whole journey we've been on and say, okay, so where is the Spirit working? How is the Spirit moving? And what does it mean for you to just respond to that and just react to that instead of feeling like you have to go conquer the world on your own? But no, just, and maybe even encouraging some of our people, maybe you haven't seen the Spirit yet. Maybe you're still where the Spirit is going to move. So that's okay too. Like, continue to wait and pray. But know that, like, you need to be waiting and expecting and looking. So for us, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of this is where we've been, this is where we've been. And it's scary when it's not up to us, but that's exactly where God wants us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's really good, too, about all these texts that we've been looking at in Acts, but, I mean, especially here, and with the ascension text, is that the Spirit does move in individuals and in persons, but it's when the people gather together that there is a Holy Spirit present in them. When they gather together under the name of Jesus Christ, like, that's when the Holy Spirit does work and show up. And that's, I mean, in the miraculous and, like, the amazing, but even in the common and the ordinary. And, like, we've been looking at that, just that whole idea that yeah, you can, I mean, you can go and you can be spiritual on your own, but you're missing out on kind of the fullness of the Holy Spirit when you isolate yourself from the community. And I think that this passage just kind of continues to bring that to our forefront. That it happens that God is sending out God's Spirit to gather for God's self a people, a community, a body, and we need to recognize, like, our roles in that, and that we should gather together and be a part of something larger than ourselves.
Yeah, it's been such a great look at the Spirit. It's challenging. It's been challenging to us and how to communicate it. But it seems, JR, like we're just ending up, like, doing a good bit of recap every week just because there's so much good that the Spirit is leading, and we're just trying to say, like, hey, this is a common thing. This isn't something you need to be, you know, like, that only happens every once in a while. No, the Spirit is able to lead us and to lead. He led his people over and over and over and over again. Throughout these passages, and even, you know, as we've pointed to our people, like, the Spirit's willing to be there. He's there. He's willing to lead you, and you just need to be open and have the eyes and ears to see and hear when he's speaking and what he's calling you to.
Yeah, hasn't that been good to just kind of affirm that in the people's lives, that God is always moving, and it doesn't have to be an emotional experience. It can just be the continual faithful presence as long as we are aware of what the Spirit is doing.
Absolutely.
I like that. Jonathan, you keep calling the Spirit a he. I think I'm going to call the Spirit a her, just so you know.
And actually,
me too, Patrick.
We're doing the same thing in our. Shelly's going to be doing that, and then I'll be doing that in my Ascension. Maybe not as much as JR will on this Sunday, but yeah.
Yeah, so, some of our listeners might, that might be confusing for them. Patrick, I assume you and I probably do it for the same reason. What's going on there?
Oh, I mean, there's a plethora of reasons.
do you know what a plethora is?
there's the whole idea of, I mean, kind of like wisdom in our scriptural text, like as being referred to as a female, like Sophia is feminine, and that, like, I like to link the spirit kind of with this idea of, like, the wisdom matrix going around us. There's just the whole idea and the practice of that, I mean, referring to God in a, like, gender-specific way tends to kind of limit our immediate impression of who God is. And so if you can refer to one of the persons of the Trinity in a female way, like that right away kind of causes dissonance in people's lives that they're gonna respond to either positively or negatively, but it always creates a teaching moment. I mean, there's so many more. What were you thinking?
Oh, same thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, in the Greek, spirit is neuter, and so you don't actually have a gender attributed to the spirit. Which right. gives you a lot of wiggle room, and exactly what you said. We end up accidentally, most of us it's accidentally, thinking of God as male because we have God the Father and God the Son, which are both clearly male images. And so, using she lets you sort of decenter that. So I found it very helpful. There's plenty of attestation in the church, early church. Contemporary church, all of that. So, plus it, you know, makes some of your more conservative people squirm a little bit, which is always fun. Probably get you at least a coffee, if not a lunch. So,
and that is always a benefit.
Yeah.
There is actually a good theologian. I can never remember. I'm Googling it right now. What her name is, Quest for the Living God. There it is, by Elizabeth Johnson. And she just kind of talks about how...
I've never read that, but I like Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Elizabeth Johnson a lot. And, like, this was the first book that I read from her. And she just kind of explores the whole idea of how we speak about God and how... how everything we say is kind of a metaphor. So she gets into kind of like Wittgensteinian cultural linguistic stuff. But it's a worthwhile read just in talking about the Trinity. And when we talk about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that might help you during those luncheons that you have.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Patrick, where can people find you online if they want to follow along and see how you did preaching this one?
If I preach well, it's going to be on faithcommunitynaz.church. If I preach poorly, you're not going to be able to find it at all.
Awesome. There's always a providential glitch, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
JR, and you can find JR's messages and mine at catrow.org, and also on his blog. He has his podcast up on his blog. What's that website again, JR?
JRForsteros.com.
Awesome. Well, it's been fun, guys, and we may do another podcast in the next couple of weeks, but this would
going to do one more.
Yeah. So we'll see you next time. It may just be next week or the following week. So if you're following along with us, thanks for joining us, and the Lord be with you.